following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Welcome to the Infernal Legion podcast for the month of February 2020. This month I am joined by my consummate producer, Warlock Jeffrey Ivins. Hey. Unfortunately, Dwayne Burns isn't with us this month. He had a very bad accident while jerking off last night, and he slipped and he broke his wrist. We wish him all the best. We hope that he recovers soon and can get back on the show. But to all of you listening, I want to encourage you all to practice safe masturbation.
Damn right.
But because Jeff and I are professionals, we will get through this.
Somehow. <Professional. laughs>
So, Jay Nothing, how the hell you been, man?
Oh, I've been doing pretty good. Just taking one day at a time and rearranging my computers because I got bored with the setup. It actually looks like a studio now on my from our radio station. So.
Nice. I noticed you've been going live on that Brain Gel radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, often.
It's kind of like a ritual to me, so.
Yeah.
It's relaxing, and I get to play music that, you know, sometimes will piss somebody off, or like next week I'm going to play Codus and, or Cobra and the Lotus, You Don't Know, which is will be dedicated to my ex-wife, you know. So.
I had the opportunity to open for Cobra and the Lotus once on the road, and the lead singer, who I guess is Cobra, she was doing some yoga stretches while we were doing sound check, but she was doing them right where the mosh pit would be.
Yeah.
So the whole time we're trying to do our sound check, we're just staring at her ass. That was fantastic. One of the best shows ever.
Oh, man.
So you were telling me before we started recording that you're thinking about leaving the Sea Cadets.
I'm not thinking about it. I am.
Okay.
Basically, it's been about 5 years since I've been involved with the program. The only job or billet that I haven't done is commanding officer, and I'm not wanting that position.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Oh, yeah. But for the past nine to 12 months, I've been doing the plan of the month, training officer, impromptu admin officer, impromptu supply officer, and I'm just building it for training. So
you're just getting bored, huh?
Well, yeah, I'm getting bored. But no, it's... I'm still going to be involved with the cadet program, but not as an active member. They've got some handbooks and some PowerPoint presentations that need to be modified and updated and stuff like that. And I'm going to do it for that battalion that I'm right now associated with. But April is my last month that I'm going to be with them.
Wow. That's the end of a five-year era. I know that was a really important program for you, too.
Oh, yeah. That's why I told the guys and the commanding officer, I was just, if there's something you need or whatever it is, you know, let me know. I just, you know, I got stuff. My other half is on dialysis and, you know, all this other stuff. And it takes a toll.
Yeah, I know that's not easy. Well, onward and upward, ever forward, as it were.
Exactly.
And I'm sure there are other programs out there that maybe if you have more time, you'll end up getting more involved in that help young people discover the military. Who knows? We'll see what the future holds. So I know this last month has been relatively interesting for me. I started off by contacting my regional veteran service officer here in Ohio, because I had to get the VA form 2122 done and all that stuff, because I hadn't done that since I moved from Nevada. But through that conversation, I got turned on to this this interesting program called the Military Veterans Bonus Program. It's a state-run program, and as of right now, seven states offer this program. So for those of you listening, this is a very niche segment that I'm going to talk about right here. But there are seven states: Illinois, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, and West Virginia. And they all offer some type of military veterans bonus. Now, what this bonus is a one-time payment up to a certain amount of money. And every state has a different process for that and has different considerations. But some of these bonuses go all the way back to World War II. So if you're a World War II vet or a Vietnam vet or a Korean vet and you live in one of these states, you might have a program open to you. So I'll talk about Ohio real quick because I just went through this process. And then I'll kind of give an overview of the other states. Here in Ohio, you had to be a resident when you enlisted or were commissioned into the military. And you have to be a resident when you apply. And then on beyond that, the only requirement that they have is that you can show that you were actively serving, you know, on active duty. And it doesn't matter if you were Guard or Reserve, but as long as you were on active duty in Iraq, Afghanistan, or the Persian Gulf. Those are the only engagements they're recognizing right now. But they have a gradating amount of money that they'll pay for each little thing you did. I have a $1,500 check on its way to me right now from the state of Ohio because of my service in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, not every state is going to go that high. I know Ohio is one of the higher states when it comes to the amount of money. But some of the other states, like Illinois, is one of the states that goes all the way back to World War II with it. You can get a $500 one-time payment from the state of Illinois if you can show your service in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and they kind of broad generalize it. They say Southwest Asia. And that covers Iraq and Afghanistan. They also have a survivor's compensation plan. So if your loved one was killed in action or died as the result of exposure to things in the military, you can also be eligible for this bonus up to $1,000 in that case. Massachusetts also goes back to World War II. They have a special program specifically for the Persian Gulf War. Very similar process with Massachusetts, but they require that you were a resident of the state for a certain amount of time before you enlisted. So that's a difference there. New Hampshire is one of the lowest. They only go back to Vietnam, and they only offer a $100 bonus. But, you know, to fill out a couple of papers and get them notarized, $100 in your pocket, that's not a bad thing. And then the other states are similar to Ohio's program. They don't really focus on anything farther back than the Persian Gulf War. But their process of how they recognize it is a little different state by state. So if you live in one of those seven states, and let me read them off again. One second. Illinois, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, or West Virginia, contact your regional veteran service officer and ask him about the state's veterans bonus program and see if you can't get a little extra scratch in your pocket. It's a really cool program that I didn't even know existed. So yeah, definitely check that out. Sorry, Florida's not on the list, Jeff.
Oh, well. Well, when I joined in Virginia.
Ah.
I just now live in Florida.
Right. So the other thing I wanted to bring up, it is February, which means it is Black History Month. And obviously, African Americans have had a huge impact on the U.S. military going all the way back to the Revolutionary War. But let's focus on some current things. If you go to our Facebook page, which is Infernal Legion on Facebook, you'll find an article about an all-female black unit that served in Europe during World War II, which is a really cool article with a lot of information I didn't know about this unit. And also, we want to give props to the Tuskegee Airman Charles McGee, who during the State of the Union address was promoted at 100 years old, was promoted to Brigadier General, finally. So congratulations to General Charles McGee. It was nice to see him. I saw him both at the State of the Union and at the Super Bowl, looking like a spry young fella. I hope that I can move that well at 100 years old, but it's not looking good right now. I encourage everyone who's even somewhat interested in military history to go and check out some of the just profound implications that African Americans have made on the U.S. military and the way that their units affected the outcomes of some of these major wars that we fought in. General McGee, I have to get used to that. he fought in World War II and Korea and Vietnam. He made a career out of the military, and it's well beyond time that he was recognized for that service. So congratulations to him. Speaking of military history, with Dwayne out of commission today, and given the time that it is right now, we are recording on the 21st of February. I don't know when you guys are going to hear this, but we're recording it on the 21st. We are right in the middle, historically, of the Battle of Iwo Jima. So what we are going to do is we have some special tracks and a special song and some conversation we want to have. This is a special Iwo Jima episode of the Infernal Legion podcast. So come back after this commercial.
Hey, buddy, what's happening? Yeah, I'm hosting a show called Furious Sound, all punk and hardcore. What? People still listen to it? It's on RadioFreeSatan.com. Radio Free Satan. Just read the FAQ. This is Citizen Matt. Ease your frustrations by tuning into Furious Sound, hardcore punk on Radio Free Satan.
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
These are sounds and words of the bloodiest battle in history. For this is the conquest of Iwo Jima. Listen to these sounds and these words.
The sky is still black with planes, roaring back and forth over that ridge. We see another plane going down on a straight runoff near the western side of the ridge, a little bit too far away for you to hear it. These planes are giving the Marines real support, the kind they need and the kind they deserve. You probably heard that, all right, and there goes another sound off.
The 4th and 5th Marine Divisions landed at Iwo February 19, 1945. The Japs had been pounded steadily for more than 6 weeks by air and by sea, but they were still waiting when we came ashore. How did the beach look? It wasn't pretty.
That beach is a scene that is difficult to describe. As we caught you, it's all black sand, a very steep beach, so we were able to go right in and drop the ramp on the land. Just off the bow of our ship as our ramp went down were these Marines stretched out for cover behind those terraces we told you about earlier, and also wounded men lying on stretchers and some not on stretchers, waiting for aid to be given them and waiting to be evacuated to the hospital ships, which are lying out beyond us, out of range of this artillery and mortar fire. Not one but hundreds of men crouched down there behind those terraces, and not one but hundreds of wrecked machines, jeeps, a couple of wrecked tanks, Amtraks, all sorts of equipment scattered and strewn around out of shelter. It's a sight that is difficult to describe, as we said. It's typical of what's going on there this morning, and that is a very hard, difficult, tough fight.
It was hot on that beach as the infantry dug in. It was hot, too, in the tanks that paced early fighting. Bit by bit, pillbox by pillbox, we inched ahead. We were making progress now, for the Stars and Stripes flew above Mount Suribachi.
Two complete Marine divisions have been put ashore on this island, which comprises less than 15 square miles. And it has already taken 3 days of intense, severe, bloody fighting to secure not even a quarter of the island. However, it was hoped today to reach the objective 2 line, and then it was thought the island might be secured in an additional 2 days. But that anymore. At this hour of the afternoon, it's about 1:30 now, Iwo Jima time. It has been practically given up the idea of taking the O2 line. In fact, I imagine if we can get through to the O1 line today, that'll be considered satisfactory progress. So when the island will be secured, we don't know.
As the battle mounted in fury, the 3rd Marine Division joined the fighting. Iwo would be ours, that we knew, but much fighting was still ahead.
Every once in a while in the background you can hear the sound of Marine mortars going off. There's a mortar emplacement just a few yards to our left here, and they're tossing shells over the airport in Mangan, the Japanese troops on the far side. Just a while ago, just before we started on the air, the Japanese dropping a couple of mortars down into this position. We all saw it across those land, but perhaps mortars down in here. You're trying to stop that sound. You might have heard the background. There was one of the Marines pulling out a machine gun down the way, and let it go a few rounds to test its firing when the machine gun's off one of the tanks. Was caused by something you might have heard. If you heard a flutter of sound like the flutter of bird's wings in the background, that was the sound of a mortar shell or an artillery shell right over our heads here. And we should have stopped for a while looking around to see what the reaction of these other men, but it seems like a spot where the thing was going, but it was necessary to dig ourselves into the sand even farther, but obviously it's gone by. They tell you the ones you hear, you don't have to worry about.
A lot of them we heard and a lot we didn't hear. But still the fighting raged. Not only men and machines, but animals too, helped destroy the enemy at Iwo. We called them war dogs, and the work they and their handlers did was epic. Some of the men who didn't carry weapons also fought at Iwo, and valiantly, too. This is about them.
I want you to meet one of the most interesting group of men fighting with the Marines on this island, the Jeep ambulance drivers, who work out of the different hospitals here, the mobile field hospitals that follow the Marines up as they move forward. Now, there's a small group of men attached to each of these hospitals, a dispatcher, and then a group of men who drive the little Jeep ambulances back and forth. And those men are pioneers in one way. They have to carve the roads or find the ways up to the front lines as the men move forward on foot. And they get to the front line aid stations, pick up the casualties, and drive back very slowly to these rear aid stations or to the beach or the planes that are going to take the men out. On the way up, they race like the very devil because there are always more casualties waiting for them. And then coming back, they drive very slowly and tenderly so that they don't hurt the men who are lying in the ambulances.
We cared for our wounded, buried our dead, and prayed for the end of the battle.
It's getting a little bit dark up here now, although it is only about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's been a cloudy, dreary day all day long, and chilly too, especially if these Marines have just come up out of the tropics. This is the first operation they've fought in such a northern latitude. While the temperature probably isn't much below 65, it still is very chilly. When you're not used to that kind of weather, it makes particularly nasty at night, when you're trying to catch a little bit of sleep in between mortar bursts.
Many of our men slept despite mortar fire. Many slept forever because of it. But the conquest of evil was completed after 26 days of the toughest fighting in history. When the Marines took Iwo, the enemy knew the end was near. The end was near, and Iwo was ours.
Yep, that's the end of that. Now if I can get him to unmute...
I think your mic is off.
My mic? Not my mic. Your mic was off.
That's just. I'm not hearing you.
You're not hearing me?
So, as you just heard, that was a collection of Associated Press releasings from the Battle of Iwo Jima. In Japan during World War II. The Battle of Iwo Jima ran from February 19th to March 26th of 1945, so it was a month and some change. And the reason it lasted so long is because the Japanese Imperial Army had, or the Imperial Japanese Army, I forget how they like to be called, but they were so entrenched in this island. They had mountain fortifications, a series of caves that went through there, entrenched artillery positions, anti-aircraft weapons. It was definitely quite literally an uphill battle for the Marines to take the island. There were 110,000 U.S. troops between the Marine Corps, the Navy, and the, at the time, Army Air Forces that were attacking the island, and 21,000 Japanese soldiers entrenched on the island. And this really speaks to the premise that Sun Tzu put forth about, you know, knowing your terrain, knowing your enemy, and things like that. Because ordinarily, 110,000 versus 21,000 wouldn't have taken a month and a week to destroy. But some interesting facts about the Battle of Iwo Jima: that the Japanese combat deaths were three times the number of American deaths. However, and this is the only time this has ever happened in the Pacific theater, the total American casualties, dead and wounded, were higher than those of the Japanese. So more Americans were injured and killed than Japanese were killed. Out of the 21,000 Japanese soldiers, only 216 were taken prisoner. And almost all of those were because they had either been knocked unconscious or so badly disabled during the battle that they weren't able to continue. So they basically went through the battlefield and collected prisoners after the fact. although it is estimated that 3,000 Japanese soldiers continued to fight for several weeks after the initial battle using the aforementioned cave system that they had entrenched in. And why that's so interesting is that because of the location of Iwo Jima and the fact that it's an island, and this one's for you, Jeff, the supremacy of the United States Navy, mm-hmm. The Japanese soldiers were completely cut off from supplies or food and everything else. So even though this was one of the bloodiest battles in World War II, there was no way the Americans weren't going to win unless we pulled out. That was the only way we would lose that battle.
Yeah.
So, and that in and of itself speaks to the, I guess you could say, the warrior spirit of the Japanese during that war, that they knew they were going to lose. There was no way for them to win, but they were still willing to fight quite literally to the last man in order to keep that island.
Well, the mentality of it is they were defending the emperor himself.
Right.
That's why between that and the Bushido Code, they were warriors and they were to fight to death.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and it was insane. And of course, the Japanese pulled out all stops. They had their I guess you could say, traditional capabilities, of foot soldiers and artillery and all that, but they also used their kamikaze tactics and suicide bombers and a lot of the stuff that soldiers today are facing in Afghanistan and places like that. So it's a very interesting battle in American history. One of the things I found most interesting is that after the battle was over, the commanders in charge essentially didn't think it was worth it. No. They didn't see, once it was done, like when you're looking at a map, it seems like a very strategic location that you want to have in your possession. But when the battle was over and they actually had control of it, they weren't so sure that it was. Now, the Seabees, the Navy Seabees, were able to repair the airfields from the intense aerial and naval bombing. And we were able to use those airfields for emergency landings for B-29s throughout the rest of the war. But honestly, the commanders after the fact were kind of right. It wasn't that great of a strategic location. but, you know, that just goes to show that military intelligence is an oxymoron.
And watch it.
Oh, look at this. Our friendly neighborhood masturbator is calling in.
Oh.
Well, he's calling me.
I'm calling you, not me.
Hold on. Let's get that out. Let's just add him in.
Yeah.
I think he's there. I hear him.
I hear him, too. Dwayne.
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is.
Are we still recording, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome the aforementioned masturbator himself, Dwayne Burns, to the show.
The aforementioned masturbator, huh?
How's the wrist doing, though, man?
Oh, it's fucked, man. I forgot how to walk, man. Alyssa walked out to the truck, got into the truck fine. My ass walked out to the truck, and I swear it was like Scooby-Doo or Shaggy trying to run, watching the cartoon. That's how my feet felt under me. And all I felt was gravity pulling me forward. And I was like, oh, fuck. And, you know, doing a good old roll from paratrooper training, I ended up putting my elbow into my ribs. I broke the 6, 7, 8, and 9 rib. And I broke the radial bone, which is right where the wrist joint is and where your long bone in your arm goes from your wrist to your elbow. I broke it right there at the wrist joint vertically.
Damn, how much lube were you using?
Oh, it was bad, man. It was fucking bad. I did this 3 weeks ago, and I've been jumping out of my ass trying to get different things done with the VA and stuff because they're so busy and getting reestablished. So,
right on.
By the time they get their head out of their ass, it might be healed.
Well, we're right in the middle of talking about the Battle of Iwo Jima.
Battle of Iwo Jima, okay.
I just listened to an interesting Associated Press amalgamation of reports live, which is another interesting thing about the Battle of Iwo Jima, that it was one of the first battles to be live reported on from beginning to end. There were reporters entrenched that were sending back news reports and audio clips and pictures while the battle was going on. It wasn't the first, but it was one of the first that had that happening. So the American populace, who up until World War II, foreign wars were kind of a nebulous concept. You know, we were donating our soldiers and our weapons and things like that, but we didn't really know what was going on. And World War II, especially the Pacific Theater, kind of changed that, and where the American people now could see and hear what was happening on a daily basis during the war. Certainly something that the three of us have, I guess you could say, had to contend with during our time in the military.
Oh, yeah.
They really could hide stuff when they were putting Japanese soldiers and Japanese citizens in internment camps and stuff. They couldn't really hide what was going on, and that's probably why they were able to, on the Pacific side, figure that shit out.
They on the first night of the battle, February 19th, 1945, Vice Admiral Mark A. Mitscher's Task Force 58 arrived off the coast of Iwo Jima. In his flotilla was also Admiral Raymond A. Spruance, who was the overall commander for the invasion, and his flagship, the USS Indianapolis, which I believe is a museum now, is it not?
Indianapolis?
Yeah, this Indianapolis.
I know the Indianapolis sunk, and that's where all the sailors were eaten by the sharks.
Yeah, and they recovered the ship, didn't they?
No, it got sunk. It got sunk after delivering the parts for the atomic bomb.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. So I'm thinking
those sailors were out there. A lot of them either died of shark attack, or because they drank the seawater and went batshit crazy.
Yeah, don't drink seawater. That's a bad idea. Yeah. the Marine commander, whose nickname is amazing, Howlin' Mad Smith, expressed numerous times his frustrations to Admiral Spruance because apparently the carrier group that delivered the Marines to the shores of Iwo Jima had spent the weeks prior to that bombing the Japanese home islands and not bombing Iwo Jima at all.
you're saying Indianapolis. Are you sure you're not referring to Missouri, maybe? Because I know the Missouri was out by Hawaii for a while.
It still is.
Yeah,
are you sure you're referring to Missouri?
Are you talking about in the battle or the museum?
The battle.
Either or.
Well, in the battle, it was the Indianapolis.
Okay.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, you were talking about a ship that was also a museum.
I was thinking the only one
I could think of out there is the Missouri.
There was a heavy cruiser, and I can't remember which one it was, that sank during World War II and was recovered and is now a museum. But I can't remember which one it was.
No, it was not Indianapolis.
No.
Anyway, moving forward. So basically, this Marine, whose nickname was Howlin' Mad, was howling mad about the fact that they had essentially not softened up the Japanese defenses at all for his Marines when they landed on the beaches. Which I think is an understandable frustration on the part of the Marines.
Yeah.
But of course, as the battle progressed, naval artillery was key to helping them take the more important positions. The Marines landed at 8:59 in the morning, which was 1 minute ahead of schedule. And I just want to take this moment to thank all the Marines for instilling in us the value of if you are early, you are on time, and if you're on time, you are late.
Well, I want to sit here and say something now.
Yeah, go for it.
It was the Navy who got them there ahead of schedule.
Absolutely, that's true. That's true.
You know, we are the Uber for the Marines.
So another key element in this battle, and one that's going to kind of tie into, not exactly, but kind of tie into our next topic, was that six Navajo code talkers were key elements in defeating this battle. Over,
say that 10 times real fast.
Over the first 2 days of the battle, they sent and received over 800 messages without any errors.
Right.
So that's 800 messages to and from the fleet, to the Marines on the ground, and to the Army Air Forces in the sky without any mistakes whatsoever, which is, as far as I can
amazing.
Tell, unheard of in modern combat.
Well, that was the U.S. version of the Enigma, correct, that they were working on?
No. The
you said
Navajo code talkers. Oh, they were speaking in their native tongue.
Okay,
and that's why the Japanese couldn't break them.
I'm tracking.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a very pivotal battle, although apparently not for the reasons they thought it was going to be. I think the most important part of the Battle of Iwo Jima is that it psychologically changed the metal of the U.S. troops in the Pacific theater. It was a huge victory for the United States, and one that even rallied the people back home around the cause with the iconic flag raising, which we will talk about in their next segment here. So any final thoughts on the Battle of Iwo Jima before we take another commercial break?
Not me.
Well, I'm coming in on the late call, so I'm unprepared on my documentation in front of me today, so.
Well, what do we expect from a masturbator like you?
You prick son of a bitch. There was one more. Hold on, I'm looking for the number here. Yeah. One more interesting piece of information about the Battle of Iwo Jima is that after the battle was over, 27 U.S. Marines and sailors were awarded the U.S. Medal of Honor, or the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the highest of any single battle in history.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's that. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will discuss the iconic, epic.
I got this underneath my sandwich on Alaska Airlines. You guys are familiar with this, apparently. Yeah. Yeah, it was underneath my sandwich, between my sandwich and my basket. Finished my sandwich, a little surprise. It says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 69:30. But what was so weird about that was I was sitting there going, wait a minute. I don't remember ordering the Christian sandwich. No, I didn't. I know, because if they would have asked, I definitely would have had the Buddhist pasta, you know?
This is Reverend Bill M., and that carnal comedy clip you just heard is from Radio Free Satan's comedy and novelty show, The Devil's Mischief.
Learn more about the show at devilsmischief.com.
The podcast you are listening to is brought to you through Radio Free Satan. To get the new episodes of this show downloaded automatically to your PC or mobile device, you can subscribe to this podcast and your other Radio Free Satan shows too by using iTunes or Stitcher or other subscription means. To find out how, go to RadioFreeSatan.com and visit the individual page for this program, where you'll find the subscription links for iTunes, Stitcher, and more under Subscribe. You can also rate and review the program on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for your support of Radio Free Satan, and now back to the show.
Phoenix Valley in Arizona land. Down the ditches a thousand years, the waters grew Ira's people's crops, till the white man stole their water rights and the sparkling water stopped. Now Ira's folks were hungry and their land grew crops of weeds. When war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian, nor the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over, and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian, Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian, nor the Marine that went to war. He's returned a hero, celebrated through the land. He was wined and speeched in honor. Everybody shook his hand. But he was just a Pima Indian. No water, no home, no chance. At home, nobody cared what Ira done. And when did the Indians dance? Call him drunken Ira Hayes. He won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Then Ira started drinking hard. Jail was often his home. They let him raise the flag and lower it like you'd throw a dog a bone. He died drunk early one morning, alone in the land he fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was a grave for Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Yeah, call him drunken Ira Hayes, but his land is just as dry and his ghost is lying thirsty in the ditch where Ira died.
Welcome back to the Infernal Legion podcast. That was the Ballad of Ira Hayes, as performed by Johnny Cash. It's actually written many years before him, but that's my favorite version of the song because Johnny Cash is a legend.
And before that, it was me going, oh... totally different reasons.
Yeah, apparently Dwayne broke his other wrist while we were going to break.
Fuck you.
So I want to talk about the iconic and controversial flag raising on top of Mount, and I'm going to butcher this name, Suribachi on Iwo Jima. This actually happened twice. So there was one flag that was raised. It was a smaller flag that was raised during the battle itself. And then later on that morning, once the hill had been secured, there was a photograph taken of six Marines lifting a larger flag up. And that photograph is, well, it's quite possibly the most famous photograph ever taken, in all actuality, and was certainly a photograph that functioned as a sort of psychological operation, both against the enemy and to the benefit of our troops during the war. So the way that this happened was during the battle, make sure I get this right. PFC Raymond Jacobs, who was a radio man assigned to Foxtrot Company, and Henry Hank Henson charged up the mountain and raised this small flag. They were instructed to do so if they got to the top by their commanding officer. The commanding officer basically said, if you get to the top of the mountain, put the colors up. They were able to successfully do it. But here's the rub. So at 10:20 in the morning, they made it to the top of the mountain and they raised the colors. This inspired the U.S. Marines on the ground and the naval ships that were around the area to cheer and blow their horns and shoot weapons in the sky, celebrate.
Charge forward.
Well, not yet. Not yet. What they did was they celebrated. And when they celebrated, it woke up all the Japanese that were in the caves around the area.
Oh, shit!
And so the battle was back on. A little later, a member of the Associated Press was in the area and decided that they wanted to redo the famous thing to get the picture. Joe Rosenthal was the photographer who took this picture. So they took down the smaller flag, and he took the picture that I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about, of the six Marines working together to get that flag up.
Right. It's what the monument in Washington is modeled after.
Right. Among those, and the reason we played that song, was then Private First Class, later Corporal Ira Hayes, who was a Pima, Native American from the Pima tribe. We also had Sergeant Michael Strank, Corporal Harlan Block, Private First Class Franklin Susley, Private First Class Harold Schultz, and Hank Hansen again. He was the one who raised the first flag. There was also a sailor there, and I don't know the abbreviations for naval ranks, so it was PHM2C.
He
John
was a foreman.
Bradley.
He was a foreman.
No, not PH. He wasn't a PH. PH is a photographer's mate.
Well, then he was maybe one of the photographers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
But he was one of the ones who helped with both flag raisings.
Okay.
And all of the men who were involved were part of the 5th Marine Division. Now, why this is a... As the train goes by. why this is a controversial
Jeffrey, blow your horn.
Image is because of the redoing of the picture. For a long time, people weren't sure who actually raised the flag. People didn't think that the right people were getting credit. There was even controversy surrounding Ira Hayes, saying that he was one of the first men to raise the flag, which he was not. And that he had gotten slighted out of that, or that they were trying to bury the original flag raising, which also was not the case. Those photos are all around. They just weren't as iconic as the second flag raising. But it took about 20 years of compiling news articles, photographs, military communications to figure out what actually happened with that flag raising. And I find that very interesting because in the last section, we just talked about how this was one of the first battles to be documented live through and through of any war. And yet here's this ultimate moment that's happening and we don't even know how it happened exactly, or at least we didn't know how it happened for several years. I don't know. I find that really interesting. Any thoughts on the flag raising, John?
Anything, Dwayne?
No.
No.
I'm pretty sure he's hopped up on pain meds right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Damn, jerk off, and you get what do you get? You get pain pills.
Hey, you know what? I don't want anybody knowing that I got any of that because I came off of that 2 years of morphine, or for 2.5 years I've been off everything. Nobody needs to know that I'm taking any of that shit.
He doesn't want anyone to know, so he says it on a podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
What we do to our service veteran brothers and sisters?
Well, I figure you guys will look out for me because we talk so frequently that if Dwayne is acting stupid or doing something foolish, you'll put me back in line and say, hey, are you doing something that you ain't supposed to be? Which I never abused my medication.
Yeah. We're never going to let you fall down a hole. That's not
I was thing. I was dependent upon it, but I was never, I never wanted to take any opioids ever again, but it's just the pain is fucking killing me.
Mm-hmm. So back to the flag raising.
Yep.
I don't know what day this is going to come out, but this Sunday, February 23rd, is the anniversary of the flag raising at Iwo Jima. If you're anywhere around where one of either the iconic monument in Washington, D.C., or one of the various knockoffs that have been put around the country. And I don't mean knockoffs in a bad way. Reproductions is a better word.
Well, you happen to be out on the island of Iwo Jima.
go out this Sunday and take a look at that and see the names inscribed and all that. And, keep in your mind, Ira Hayes, who unfortunately passed away from alcoholism, drunk in a ditch. No one to care about it. And that's something that we never want to see happen to any of our veterans because, he was completely forgotten after.
Well, honor our vets and give them their due respect.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a sad story, but it's also an inspiring story. And that, as far as I can tell, unless you gentlemen have anything to add, is our special Battle of Iwo Jima episode.
Nope, I don't have anything
to add. And I had very little myself. I just wanted to come in and not be totally absent from the episode. I mean,
we had you covered.
Oh, you guys have been trying
clip and everything pulled up.
You guys have been trying to fucking get rid of my ass since I started
this. Why would we want to get rid of you? You're the comic relief.
Love having you around. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this special Battle of Iwo Jima episode of the Infernal Legion podcast. We'll be back next month with a Wicked Warrior of the Month and back to our normal setting. In the meantime, make sure you visit us at infernallegion.org. If you are a veteran and member of the Church of Satan, be sure to fill out the membership application on the website. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on MeWe, and on the Undercroft. Just look for Infernal Legion and ignore the black metal band because we're not them.
And, so, And guys, recently we've had some goings on. We just want to remind you, if you're a vet in crisis, if you're having issues, mental health issues, anything going on right now, there is a vet helpline out there, 800-273-8255. Give them a call. They're not going to harass you or nothing. They're going to help you, and they're going to get your ass back on the straight and narrow. If you want that, and you're, you know, you want that for yourself, there's going to be no pressure, no nothing. They'll get you taken care of. So if you got anything going on, take care of what you need to.
Yeah. The moral for this month is don't end up like Ira Hayes.
Exactly.
And so until next time, gentlemen, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.